to this particular local church, commending them for their love for him, for their support from him. Now, you have to understand, Paul was writing this while he was in prison, a Roman prison, waiting to face persecution, maybe even execution. Why? Because he was preaching that Jesus is Lord. In Philippi and other places, Julius Caesar was considered Lord. There was emperor worship going on. So while there was emperor worship going on, Paul's coming in and saying, you know, Jesus is Lord. Well, he was arrested for that. So in prison, he's writing to this church, basically telling them how much he loves them. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 1, some wonderful things that we can learn from this book in Philippians. So we begin reading chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. There's some static coming through here. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless unto the day of Christ, having been filled with the truth of righteousness which comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray together. Father God, today as we open the book of Philippians, God, teach us. God, we want to know, we want to learn how to live this life better. Lord, how to live a life that is pleasing and holy and righteous before you. Lord, thank you that we can come to your word and find encouragement. God, I pray today that you give us strength, that you walk with us through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a question that comes to mind. As a church, how do we grow together in Christ? I think that's a legitimate question. How do we grow together in Christ? Because that's what we're supposed to do as a church, is grow together. This is not a place that you just come on Sunday and say, hey, see you next Sunday. Now, a lot of people like to think that's all that there is to it. But there's so much more involved as being a part of the church, and namely the local body here, First Baptist Church, Ville Platte. There's so much more than just coming and sitting and hearing a message and singing some songs and going home. So there are basically four ways that we grow together in Christ. The first is that we share the same spiritual birth in Christ. That you and I, you're born again believer, we had the same birth in Christ Jesus. Now, yours may have been years ago or yours may have been last week. I don't know. But we shared the same birth. The same way that you're saved, I was saved. The same way, the same blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross washed your sins away and washed mine too. Praise God. He says to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, verse 1 says. Notice Paul's letter wasn't written to the people of Philippi. No, his letter is specific. It is to the regenerated people of God who are set apart by the spiritual birth in Christ. Not everyone who attended the church of Philippi were saved. There were people who went there for worship, listened to the message, walked away lost. Listen, there are people who come to First Baptistville Platte who listen to a message here singing and walk away without Christ. Just doing religion. Just doing the Baptist thing. If there is one. No. We understand that this was addressed to the Christians. And there are a lot of people that were lost. But you know, you can be saved today. That's what's so wonderful about living in this time of grace, that Jesus Christ offers salvation to all. If you're here this morning for this 8 o'clock service, you just wanted to come hang out with us, or you're watching by internet, you're watching by Facebook, listen, you can be saved today. See, it's being in Christ Jesus is what Paul addressed. It's being in Christ Jesus that makes a person a Christian. First John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If all you have is a title of going to the Baptist church, you're lost. If you're normally from a different denomination, you're just coming to visit to see what it's all about, and that's all you have, you do not have Christ, you're lost. So how does a person get in Christ Jesus? Well, what does the Scripture say about it? It's very clear that we cannot save ourselves. We know that our good works, our good behavior, our good intentions, we covered that last week, our good intentions, even religious practices can never save us. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Translations say transgressions and sins. We are lost. We are spiritually dead. What spiritually dead people cannot do is respond spiritually to Christ. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. So the Holy Spirit has to regenerate them, make them spiritually alive, to respond to Christ Jesus. So we can never be saved in our own good works and our own good intentions. Why? Because we're spiritually dead. Oh, but we don't. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God is the grace that we find in Jesus Christ to bring salvation to us. Romans 8, 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if we're trying to make it to heaven on our own, forget about it. We can't. Only by the grace of God in Christ Jesus will we ever respond to Him in faith and repentance. So the Bible gives us this pathway to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. There's not a lot of hoops to jump through. The Bible is clear that anyone who does not come to Jesus in faith and repentance of sin will not be saved and will not go to heaven. John chapter 3, verse 34, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. What's he talking about, born again? Spiritually born again. This new birth in Christ Jesus. When the Holy Spirit touches us, regenerates us, makes us spiritually alive, we see Jesus for who he is as the Son of God. We know, we see our sins, and we say, in submission to Christ, in repentance, we say, I need you to save me. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of my sin. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. See, it's not just saying, listen, I need this Jesus person in my life because I've done some bad things. It's repentance. I love what repentance. I heard this past week that sin is going one way. Brokenness is the off-ramp. And we turn around, that's repentance, and follow Christ. It's a change of our mind. It's a change in our heart that Jesus makes. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How will we escape the judgment of God if we say no to Christ? It's Paul's letter. Paul's letter is addressing those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ today? The answer to our question is simple. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, where you've responded to Him in faith and repentance, then today is the day. See, Jesus is calling you to salvation. Will you respond? The openness for salvation is there all the time, but there's one day that will close. It will close. See, I'm not trying to teach you a Baptist thing. I'm trying to teach you a Bible thing. I just sat there and read scripture after scripture after scripture to you to tell you and show you how to be saved. The necessity that you, in your own ability to say yes to Jesus. The Spirit guides you. Would you today just say, I repent, Lord Jesus. I don't know everything about you, but Lord, I repent of my sin. Save me. God, I claim for myself what you did, what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. I claim that blood that he shed on Calvary's cross for myself to wash my sin away. Come live inside of me, and I will live for you. We also see Paul tells us this to this church. So not only is he addressing those who are in Christ, and I pray that you are in Christ today, and if not, you need to see me after service. Second thing he says is that we grow together because we share the burden of ministry in Christ. We grow together because we share the burden of ministry in Christ. So Paul is telling this church in Philippi, listen, we're growing together, even though I'm in prison, but I've seen growth in your life over the 11 years that you've been established. I've seen growth in your life because you're sharing this ministry in Jesus Christ with me. And then listen, the statement of burden, listen, it's not a negative tone here. It really means great responsibility. The Philippian church was in Paul's heart. They bore this responsibility with him of spreading the gospel to as many places as possible. They were in his heart. He loved these people. This is a challenge to us. The place our fellow believers hold in our heart really reveals a great deal about where we stand with the Lord. Think about it. The people around you right now, the people in the next service, how you feel about them, what you think about them, really reveals a lot about your walk with Christ. Not theirs, yours. See, just as surely as we all share the same spiritual birth in Christ, we also share the responsibility of ministry. We all share the responsibility of making much of Jesus and making him known to the world. Paul notes a few things here. He praised God for these people. Verse 3 says, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. He's praising God that he knew the church of Philippi, that he knew these people. He's praising God for it. Do you praise God because you're you're part of First Baptistville Platte. You praise God for the people around you. You just thank God. God, thank you for giving me a church that's on fire. Thank you, God, for giving me a church that's moving forward. God, thank you for a church that moves out in mission work. Thank you, God. See, Paul tells us his heart is filled with joy as he remembers his fellow believers in Philippi. He praises God that they're family together. So when we think of fellow believers here at Firstville Platte, how do you remember them? Do you think of the time that they did something that you didn't like? Baptists are really good about holding grudges. There's another sermon on that. Do you remember the time when they said something you didn't like? Maybe when they said something that was hurtful. Or do you rejoice? Do you rejoice that you are saved by the grace of God and you didn't deserve it? That Jesus stood in front of his Father in your behalf? Do you praise God for that? And you praise God for the people like you who Jesus stood in their behalf. And you're all going to the same local church together. That you have the privilege of serving God with these people who are broken, who need more help, who need a lot of grace, because I need a lot of grace. Do you praise God for people you go to church with? Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. See, certainly one of the great marks of a healthy church is the deeply felt joy among the members of that body of Christ. Paul also talks about prayer. In verse 4 it says, he always offered prayer with joy in every prayer for you all. When Paul prayed for the Philippian church, it brought joy to him because he loved these people so much. Let's be honest, some of us won't even pray for our own family with joy in our heart. We won't pray for our kids, we won't pray for our husband, we won't pray for our wife. We won't pray for our grandparents, our parents. So to ask you if you're praying for the people down at the church with joy, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. See, Paul praises God for this church, and he also prays for them. He intercedes on their behalf. He lifts them up personally before the Lord. Church, this is the attitude and backed up by action that we are to have for one another. That type of love, that we love each other so much, even with our imperfections and our brokenness, that we still go to God with joy and lift each other up in prayer. See, we grow together as friends and as a faith community when we pray for each other and with each other. Maybe you just need to look at the person next to you. Say, I'm going to pray for you this week. Go ahead. Look at them. Tell them. I'm going to pray for you this week. And if you don't know their name, ask their name. You just made a new friend. Because you're going to pray for that person that you've never met before, but now you know their name. You're going to pray for them all week long. And next Sunday when you see them, you can tell them, hey, I prayed for you all week long. And they're going to tell you, well, my week was horrible. Then you can tell them, well, just think how bad it would have been if I hadn't been praying for you. Our hearts should be filled with love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, so much that we go before God to pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul reminds Timothy, says, pray for all. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Paul also mentions about partnership. Verse 5 says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, Paul is grateful for the partnership that this church had with him in the ministry. They joined him in spreading the gospel of Jesus. Even in his time of need, the Philippians responded generously. We see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, a few chapters back, Paul reminds them, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. This was the only church that supported Paul. Paul, who wrote all these letters in the New Testament. Paul, who reached the Gentile world with the gospel. One church. It was these people. First Baptistville Platte, we are together in this thing. Think of it. The Lord founded First Baptist Church Ville Platte in 1914. I wasn't around then. To reach people for Jesus in this area, as far as our influence could take us. To share the gospel of Jesus around the world. We're doing so. But each of us, listen, each of us are essential and needed to get the task at hand done. That's this partnership and participation with each other in the gospel. Everything we do, we need to be involved. Think about it. You're sitting in a brand new facility. Why? Because people partner together to raise enough money to have a down payment for this beautiful facility. But it's not paid off yet. So I need you, if you have not been a partner with us yet, I need you to partner with us specifically to pay this building off. Why? Because this is phase one of three. Talk about a God-sized vision for this area. Why, Brother Kevin? We don't have many people coming, but you have to prepare. Why? Because there's 30,000 people in a 10-mile radius of Ville Platte. Take that to the bank. And the redneck in me says, ain't all of them saved either. I don't care where they think they go to church, because I passed a whole bunch of them going fishing this morning. There's a lot of lost people right here. And every empty chair that you see is a soul that needs to be saved. That's why. That's why we give. That's why we participate and partner together. It's not for a pat on the back. It's not for a beautiful building. It's that lost souls can be discipled. And they too can grow and mature and go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we can come together and honor our Savior, the one who gave us life. Listen, there are so many additions to this one building that we need. We need more chairs. You say, well, there's a lot of empty ones. Yeah, but when we finish, it ain't going to be empty. Well, there's so many things. But we also need to partner in serving. See, not just in giving, but also in serving. In our student ministry and our children's ministry, we need volunteers. We'll be opening those areas up soon. And we need people who will go out there and love our kids and love our teenagers to be a part of that. We also serve together in missions. We're going to look to try to get over to Western Louisiana to help again in the areas that need and try to clean some yards and some houses out. So, well, that hurricane was 3 weeks ago. Listen, 3 months from now, there will still be people trying to recover. 3 months from now. And there will be people who fall short and fall in the cracks of their insurances. They can get it gutted out, but there's no money to rebuild. There's always needs for volunteers to be missions. You are called to be a missionary church. That's who we are. We're all gifted to serve in various ways. We partner together in the Lord's work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God already prepared the work for us. We just need to be faithful and get it done. Get her done. It's time for that we get it done for Christ. Let me throw this out there. I put on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, because we come across several yards in Lake Charles area. There were branches so many that we couldn't even get to it. I mean, it was just, all we had was human power, man and woman and teenage power. That's all. And some kids too. So I put it out there, hey, if someone has a bobcat, a small skid steer to go and to remove some of this heavier stuff, if you want to donate to the church, new, used, I don't care. You know why I ask that? Because if you don't ask, the answer is always no. We've got a big God. And the thing is I know that there are people out there who can do it. And they just need to see the vision that ministry happens when there's things available. And the hardest thing is when we have to pass by and you see people who are hurting and you literally don't have the human power to help them out. It hurts. And you have to pass them by. I had to tell a lady no. She said, can you help my sister on the corner? Let me tell you what, when we passed that house, I couldn't see the yard because there were so many trees down. We worked together in ministry. The fourth thing Paul talks about in here is this desire to be together. As a church, we should desire to be together. Verse 8, he says, for my witness, how I long for you, all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul had a desire to be with the people whom he loved, and they loved him. Listen, there's something wrong with someone who says they're a Christian who don't want to go to church. I'm just tell you that. I'm getting too old to play the games. People give me all excuses in the book why they don't want to go to church or they can't go to church. This, if it's not a health reason, or if you're not taking care of someone who has a health reason, if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, then you need to be in worship. If it's not here, if you can't stand this preacher and you can't stand the music, you can't stand what we do, you need to find a church that you can worship in. There's something wrong. Somewhere you miss something. You're not being discipled. If we don't like worship, we don't like to learn about Christ or be challenged how to live for Him while you're being taught how to live for Him, then something's missing in your salvation experience. Or maybe you're not really saved at all. And that's more likely. Maybe you're just doing religion. You're actually lost. See, some people don't like that. Because I always get this feedback, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. To be Christian, you don't have to go to church. No, but when you're saved, you'll want to. You'll want to. You'll want to be a part of a local body. You'll want to be a part of what God is doing through these people. If you don't like them here on earth, you sure ain't going to like them in heaven. Well, you don't know those people. There's a bunch of hypocrites down there. Yep, we sure are. Because Jesus was perfect and we're not. We teach about a perfect Jesus who can change our lives. And boy, he's changed our lives tremendously. But have we arrived yet? Nope, we have not arrived yet. We'll only arrive when we see Jesus face to face. But year by year, day by day, we progressively grow more like him. He's always sweeping out the junk. And the closer you get to Christ, the more you notice even the smallest things in your life that you've never noticed before that displease God. Yep, we're all a bunch of hypocrites. Join us. We always enjoy one more, or two more, or 40 more. Why? Because we're here under the grace of God. We didn't get here by ourselves. And we're not staying here by ourselves. God's grace is sufficient to sustain us in our salvation. Make me want to preach. Listen, I've been here at First Baptistville Platte for 16 and a half years. I'm working on 17. I don't get rid of me after this Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, I just absolutely love my church. I don't want to go anywhere else. You see, because we worship together, we work together, we like to hang out together, and we have fun. You bring joy to my life. I love, if it's working here or working there, if it's on the mission site, wherever it's at, even picking up trash on Chico Park Road. It's just fun. If you're missing those fun times, you're really missing out. Serving together. We went over into Spring, Texas, and we've gone over into Florida and we've gone into Lake Charles, and we've gone into Beaumont, and we've gone all over the place. Some here in Ville Platte. And we sweat together, we get dirty and nasty, and eat sandwich together with nasty old dirty hands, and we stink, and we're having a good time doing it. And we laugh, we pray together, we share time together. We do life together. That's what church is about. We do life together. And let me tell you what. You get a bunch of Cajuns and some rednecks together with all that humor, that love for life, that you talk about fun. It's like it's always something. Maybe for you, you say, well, I just don't find I fit in at that church down there, your church. I want to ask you this, because I've heard people say that. You know, I've gone to church there a few times. I just find nobody ever talked to me. Nobody ever shook my hand. I've heard that for years. But what I've really found out is a lot of people who walk away from our church really never made an effort to try be a part of it. Come in when the services start, leave out just as soon as it's over. We don't even know who they are. We don't know a name. We don't know an address. We don't know a phone number. We don't know who to call. We just see a face come in and a face that goes out. But they walk away and go in the community and say, I don't know, that church is, they're just a bunch of stuck up people over there. Not really. You see, when I need to do something and go somewhere, I have to make an effort to do it. And when you come to church, you have to make an effort to be a part. You have to let somebody know that you're interested in doing this or sharing this or being saved, being baptized. Hey, where's the class at? What's going on? Is there some mission trips coming up going? What can I do? But if you made an effort, you can really say, I just don't find I fit in there. Hey, I get it.
I get it.
Maybe this type of preaching, maybe this music, maybe this environment that we are creating that's conducive for worship is just not you. Maybe what we're doing is just not you. Maybe you're not learning anything. Maybe you find that you're really not fitting in. Maybe this church is not for you. That's okay. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I want you to be in a place where you are being fed and grow, and that you're going to plant yourself and grow with those people. And I can recommend a lot of wonderful churches around that you can be a part of. What you don't need to do is stay at home and regress in your faith. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, be proactive in finding a church and serving. Third thing we see here is we share blessings together. We see in verse 6, says, "For I am confident this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul reassures these believers that God who saved them from their sins will keep working in their life, for the rest of their life to the day they die and meet him face to face. Christians, that's the blessing that we have, is that the God who saved us is continuously working in us. Isn't that beautiful? Is that when he saved me at a very young age, he didn't stop right there. He's continuously working in me. And as I get older and the new challenges, God has not left me. And listen, God has not left you. Whatever you're going through right now, the same God who saved you is the same God who's working it out in your life. He's working it out for you in your behalf. What a blessing. And we share those blessings with one another. Why? Because I learn from you. Hopefully you learn from me. I learn from the things that you're going through. Sometimes it's what not to do, but sometimes it's just the faith that you have to continue on when the struggle seems so overwhelming. See, those are the blessings that we have. We get to spend our lives doing our life together here on earth. And we get to see God continually to work in our life through our lives. Man, then we get to spend eternity in heaven. That's sharing blessings together. And the last thing is this. We share common business of ministry. We share compassion for people. Verse 9 says, And this, Paul says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Paul prayed that their love would continue to grow in days to come. The church of Philippi was marked by love. I pray that First Baptist Ville Platte will be marked by love. When other people think about this church, they don't see just a new building. They see the people. We are the church. That they see that we genuinely love them and that we genuinely love each other. May we speak the truth to one another. Speak the truth in love. But always remember this, that when you speak the truth in love, you need to filter it with grace, empathy, and compassion. Always. Or you've lost. The second thing we see, the business of being together and loving one another, is the conviction that we have. Verse 10 says, so that, Paul says this, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. We need to test the spirits. Test the teachings. Always test, test, test. Don't believe everything that you hear because it sounds good. You will hear a lot of things if you listen to any kind of TV preachers, if you listen to a lot of even Christian bands or so-called Christian bands out there. Some of their theology is just messed up. It doesn't match up with Scripture. You need to test it according to God's Word, not according to what it feels like or sounds like, but we need to be under the conviction that, listen, this doesn't line up with God's Word. And there are a lot of preachers out there, and I'll put quotation marks around that, that will, you know, they'll put a verse in here, put a verse in there, and it sounds real good. But it's just taken totally out of context of what the passage means when you read it. And people who don't read their Bible are fooled. Are fooled. We need to be under conviction. Don't believe everything that sounds right or sounds biblical. Test it against God's Word. And the last thing is completion. Verse 11 says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God, be fruitful in our walk with Christ. That ought to be the goal of every believer, is that we bear fruit for Jesus, is that we are sharing our faith with other people. We may not be outspoken, but listen, we can speak up for Jesus. That ought to be our goal, is that we work together to bring God glory by bringing lost souls to Christ, to disciple them so that they can mature and produce fruit for Christ, and to live and serve and support the ministry that God has entrusted to us. May we be like that Philippian church that Paul loved and bragged on. May we too have this heart and live out to completion this life that Christ has called us to. Do you know Christ today? And are you living and understanding your part of being in a local body? Can it be said of us that we love and that we're marked by love? Can it be said of us that we are discerning of Scripture? Can it be said of us that we're compassionate people? Can it be said of us that we are living it out to the day we see Jesus, persevering to the very end? Oh, today, may we too look at one another and pray for one another, praise God for one another, enjoy our church life together, and grow. And listen, we don't want to be little cliquies. There's no part in the kingdom of God for cliques. We need to be open to others, to invite them in, to be a part of our family, church family, and to love them, to accept them, to help them grow. They may be different from us. They may look different than us. They may smell different than us. I don't know. Their accent may be different. But when God sends them here, He sends them here for a reason, for a purpose. And it's our responsibility to be that church like Paul loved so much, to bring them in, to love them, to disciple them, and to help them grow. Let's pray together. Father God, today, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to hear Your Word. God, we thank You for the opportunity to continue to grow in You. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that doesn't know You. They've never given their life to You. Maybe they grew up in church. Maybe they grew up and thought they were saved. Maybe they come from a denomination that they're unfamiliar with the terminology. Holy Spirit, You are moving in our life right now, and You're revealing to them that if they died today, heaven would not be their home. God, they've been basing everything on how good they were, how many good works they could do, and all those things mean nothing to salvation. Father, You have Your way in our lives today. Teach us how to love one another. Teach us not to remember the bad things that people say or done, have acted in a way. God, to look at each other in love and say, that person is saved by the grace of God, and I am too. That we draw closer together as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. It's been good to be in the